I'm sure that we'll have another productive day today. I'd like to give a special thanks to Jeff Mathis for not only choosing the songs here, but also for letting me know that you guys needed someone to fill in. So he gave me the word, and now I'm here. Well, as I said last time, I never leave Gooch Lane without a few bouncers, so there they are right there. Okay, so if they see one rotten tomato, I mean, they're gonna pounce. All right, so just be watching out for them. In any case, I thank you so much for Mark and Ingrid Richardson over there, and that's his mom right there, Barbara. Yeah, I'm calling you out, I know. Well, in any case, as you know, I will be talking about the heart this morning. And I understand that there are many topics we can talk about, really, when it comes to the heart. So many different avenues and veins we can take. I'm good? Oh, I'm muted. Can everyone still hear me?
Okay. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Wow. Total difference. I might have to bring it down some now. Okay. Well, in regards to the heart, I just want to talk about two things today. I want to focus on two topics. I want to talk about how the heart, when spoken about in the Bible, has a direct relationship with God's dwelling place. And that's something that we'll be able to see through his word. And then I want to speak on how that dwelling place needs to be guarded. And I mean heavily guarded. It needs to be carefully guarded. And we'll talk about that as well. But first, we need to define what exactly we're talking about. Of course, you know, I'm talking about the heart. But when I say heart, I don't mean the organ. You know, I don't mean that body part. I mean that sort of abstract thing that's sort of hard to define sometimes. But if we're going to be using, now let me use this correctly. Okay. If we're going to be using Vine's Expository Dictionary or Zondervan's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be all right. So for them, they say the heart stands for man's entire mental and moral activity, both rational and emotional elements, the fountain of thoughts, passions, desires, affections, appetites, purposes, and endeavors. It is the center of all physical and spiritual life. And I'll go ahead and add a few words from Proverbs 27, verse 19. As water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the man. So that's what the heart is. The heart is where everything stems from, and we can understand that. We all have a heart, and we all use our hearts daily. But it's the condition of our hearts that we're going to be getting into a little bit later. But first, we understand that it is clear that the heart plays the most important function in our lives. And now that we have defined it, we're going to turn now to the Old Testament. That's Exodus 25 in particular. And we're going to see the function the heart plays in establishing a dwelling place for God. And so, in fact, the heart was the reason why the sanctuary had everything it needed to be built, and the reason why the temple was built in the first place. All of that stems from the heart. Now, when we talk about the heart, or when we talk about the sanctuary that is mentioned in Exodus 25, and then its building starts in Exodus 35, we understand these first couple verses here, where it says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution from every man whose heart moves him. You shall receive a contribution from me. And skipping down to verse 8, it says, and let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. And now when we skip over to Exodus 35, we're not going to do that now. But when you do, I want you to look at just a few verses or phrases there that you see, or that read like, whose heart stirred him, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them. And so we see that the people of Israel had a heart. They wanted to take part in some way in establishing a dwelling place for God. And so already we recognize a direct link between the heart and the dwelling place of God. But it gets even more deeper than that when we get to the temple. And if we're talking about David, a man after God's own heart,
He fathoms within himself or fashions within himself to build a dwelling place for God. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 verse 7, David said to Solomon, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord, my God." He had it within his heart to build this house. The heart and the dwelling place of God are inseparable. Those two things coincide quite often throughout the Old Testament and within the New Testament. And it is because of these truths, and of course the ones within the New Testament, that we can say assuredly that God dwells within us. He dwells within our hearts. And rightly so, because he is man's entire mental and moral activity, both rational and emotional elements. And undoubtedly, he is the center of all physical and spiritual life. So that's the heart. And that's how it pertains to the dwelling place of God. But really, I say all of that to say this, that there is something we need to be wary of when it comes to our hearts, when it comes to God's dwelling place. I said we were going to be talking about how that dwelling place needs to be guarded. But first we need to ask the question, well, guarded from what? What is the specific threat, this specific problem that the heart has to face? And let me first bring out that Jesus dealt with this problem that we're about to discuss in his ministry twice. First at the beginning of his ministry, and then towards the end of it, after the triumphal entry. I'm going to just let that sink in if you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, that's okay. I'm talking about when Jesus drove out the people from the temple. That specific issue there. And it's first recorded for us in John chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. But what I'm going to focus on this morning is in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, now pay attention to this, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." Or other translations might say a den of thieves, you see. So what do we have here? Well, that's the problem. That's the great temptation that lies before us. This temptation of turning our hearts into a den of robbers, into a den of thieves, you see. And if I were to ask you, are you willingly going to let a robber come into your house? What would that answer be? Well, hopefully it'd be no for all of you here. But just think about this scenario. What if a robber came up to you? I mean, you don't even know he's a robber, but he comes up to you and he says, "Hey, so I'm planning on coming to your house tomorrow around 3. You're going to be at work tomorrow, right? Okay, well, that's good. Well, just make sure that the kids aren't there. Make sure that the dog is put away. I don't want to get bit or anything like that. Make sure all the doors are unlocked. And also, if you have any safes or any valuables, just leave them out there in the front and I'll take care of them." Now, if somebody came up to us and said something like that, would we say, "Oh, yeah, sure, no problem"? Well, of course not. We'd seem crazy, right? Like there's something ridiculous with us going on there. Why would we willingly let a robber or someone who wants to take things from us come on in like it's nothing? And yet, in many ways, we tend to do that with our hearts. And there lies the problem that we need to figure out. And when we talk about thieves, thieves take without care. But they're called thieves. Why? Well, they're not just people taking things, but they're called a thief because they're taking things that don't belong to them. And if it is in this regard that our hearts become a den of thieves, then we need to understand that we're allowing things to come into our hearts that are, we are allowing these things to come in and to take things that don't belong to them. And if it doesn't belong to them, who does it belong to? Well, it belongs to God, right? That's something we need to be wary of. But not only that, they take things that are valuable. It's not enough that they come in and they're just taking things that don't belong to them or that's yours. I mean, your trash is your own. But a thief doesn't break into your house to steal your trash, do they? A thief breaks in so they can steal that which is valuable, right? But what are those valuable things? If we remember that it is the heart that we speak of, not too much about our house, but the heart, what are those valuable things that don't belong to them that they are taking? Well, you remember how we defined the heart in the beginning? It was those passions, those desires, those affections, those appetites, those purposes, those endeavors. All of these things that really ought to be pointing towards the center, which is God, are now going all over the place. Because we let thieves come in and say, oh yeah, take my time and attention over here. Take my time and devotion over this way. That's what happens. And that's when our hearts become a den of thieves. When we, instead of looking towards God and saying, I'm going to give you my time and devotion, well, I'm giving it towards this. It may be some project. It may be some car. It may be anything. I don't know what it is for you specifically. But I know that we all have this problem of making our heart into a den of thieves instead of solely focusing on whom that heart belongs to. And that's God, you see. But why? Why is it possible for my heart to become a den of thieves? Why does this happen? And really, I'm going to present to you two reasons why this happens. Just two. The first reason is what is said in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, where it says, the heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it? The heart is desperately sick. If your heart is desperately sick, that means it is desperately trying to find something to make it well, to make it better. And in the process of it doing that, well, it's going to take in anything that it thinks, man, if I devote my time to this, if I devote my attention to this, then I will be satisfied. That's what the heart wants. It wants to be satisfied. And so it reaches out to all these things desperately, thinking it's going to satisfy it in some way, thinking it's going to fulfill it. But that's not what happens, is it? That's not what the heart is for. It's not for all these temporal things. It belongs to God. But we understand that as a problem. That in its desperation, it seeks to find something that's going to make it well. So that's the first problem, why that happens. The next is what is said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, where it says, God has set eternity in man's heart. This is how you know your heart belongs to God. Because if God has set eternity in man's heart, who's the only person who's eternal? It's God. He's conditioned us to seek after him. He's conditioned all men to seek after him by placing eternity in their hearts. We don't know what's going to happen to us. We don't know what we ought to seek for. But God knows. And he presents himself to us. And he says, you need to seek after me. Why? Because I'm the only one who can fulfill this heart. I'm the only one who can satisfy it. And until we truly understand that, our heart is destined to become a den of thieves. And so we need to be careful. And we need to understand that it belongs to God. There is only one who is eternal. There is only one who can fill it. And that is God. And so now that we understand the problem, we understand that our hearts are a dwelling place for God. And that there's this huge temptation while we live here to make it a den of thieves, where we have all these things coming in and taking things that do not belong to them. And that's the problem. But what is the solution? How do we fix this problem? Well, I tell you that the solution was revealed with the problem. You remember when Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. That's the beginning step in how we fix this. That's the beginning step in how we make sure our hearts don't become a den of thieves, or don't remain a den of thieves. It's when our hearts become a house of constant communication between God and man. That's what being a house of prayer means. It means that our desires are for God. And so we make it a habit of reminding ourselves who our hearts belong to. And we do that more frequently
the more frequently we pray. So if you continue to pray, you continue to remind your heart it belongs to God. You're going to Him for the things that you're asking for. You're going to Him for the things that you know will satisfy you. But it's only to God that we need to go to. And it's only to God who's going to answer our prayers. And it's only God who hears our prayers. And so we need to pray to Him. His house, His dwelling place, our hearts shall be called a house of prayer. Thus it belongs to Him. But do you remember how many times Jesus went to cleanse the temple? It was twice, right? And that tells us a few things. That tells us that as soon as He had gotten done the first time cleansing the temple in John chapter 2, well, what happened? Those people came right back, right? So that means that Jesus needed to continually come in and cleanse that temple. That's why He did it the second time. And perhaps if He were still on that earth, He probably would have kept doing it more and more and more until people got the message. His house was supposed to be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. And so He made that a continual practice. And this is my prayer for us and for myself always, that what Jesus did to the temple, I wish He would do to our hearts every single day, because that's what needs to be done. Because it is a huge temptation to have our desires and our affections going this way and that way. But what we need to be focused on is God and where He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. And we must point our affections towards Him. So likewise, our hearts need constant entry from the Lord in order to cleanse our hearts. Thus, nothing should get in our way of giving Him our attention and our devotion, because it doesn't belong to anyone else. But it's not only in prayer that we are to be communicating with God, but it's also in how we keep His word. It's something we need to understand, that it is the person who devotes their time truly to doing the things of God. That person, God says He will make a home with. And so our hearts belong to Him, and we can echo the words of Paul when he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Isn't that awesome? You know, when we keep those things that Paul just written there in mind, I like what Moses has to say when he's warning the people not to look grudgingly on a poor brother during the time of Jubilee. And what he tells them, he says, "Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart." Deuteronomy 15. You know, there are many times we say things like, "Man, I shouldn't have thought that way." Or, "Man, that was a really bad thought. I shouldn't think that way." But how many times do we actually consider those thoughts to be unworthy? Unworthy of being there. And if we're taking this verse seriously, this verse speaks of our hearts as if it's some sacred place. And let me tell you, that's exactly what it is. And if something unworthy doesn't belong there, then we can only conclude that something worthy goes there, right? Only that which is worthy should fill it. And that which is worthy was just listed for us in Philippians 4, where he says, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. Those are the things that we need to be thinking about. So this is the point here. When we're stopping our hearts from becoming a den of thieves, we need to understand if thieves have already been there, we need to replace that stuff. Or if thieves haven't been there and we're seeking to strengthen up our security, we need to still bring in more good stuff. And these are the good things we need to be thinking about. These are the good things we need to be practicing to make sure our heart doesn't become a den of thieves, but instead a more humble, good place for God. And that's what we need to be working on. And with that, we see the application of the greatest commandment where Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Therefore, the heart is a sacred place to God. It is His place of manifestation. It is His home with us. And we need to treat it that way. We need to treat it sacred. And as Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So that's how it's done. That's how we guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. It's when we recognize its desperate sickness to be filled with that which is eternal, and in our constant prayers and faithful works, we make it a place that God will be pleased to dwell in. And so have you made your heart a dwelling place, a home for God? Or has it become, or does it remain, a den of thieves? And that is the question I leave before you this morning, that you need to answer honestly and see whether or not maybe there are some things you need to take out of your life to make sure that your affections, your desires, your everything, your center of your physical and spiritual life is God. And thus we guard it away from becoming a den of thieves, and it is a sacred place that God is pleased to dwell in. And so if you're not a Christian this morning, I tell you, your heart remains a den of thieves. And perhaps this morning you've realized that, and you're desiring to make it a home for God instead. Well, we invite you to come forward. But you need to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. You need to repent from your fleshly desires and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And let me tell you, once you've done that, God has promised you a new heart. And may you receive that with much joy and humility, as we all have. But if you are a Christian, and you're struggling with those thieves even today, we invite you to come forward. And we will begin that process of restoration by going to God with you in prayer, asking for wisdom, asking for guidance, and asking for strength, that we all may get through this, and that our hearts may be a safe place for God to dwell. If there be anything, brethren, please let it be known now as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.